Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Pixar Fest details have been announced. Tiana's Bayou Adventure is showing real progress. An entire land is closing.
A surprise encounter happened for guests at Soarin. New CEO possibilities. We talk about all the D23 Expo 2024 details and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 20th, 2024. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. We'd like to thank everyone who supports the show, but this week we would like to give a special shout out to Ryan P. and Vikram S., who became supporters, official weekly tiers, and Keith N., Kim G., and Brittany R., for continuing their support. If you would like to help support the show and make sure that we can keep bringing you the latest news, information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. So before we dive into the news, we know there are a lot of D23 Expo 2024 details that were just announced today as we're recording this, actually. But hang tight. We are going to talk about all of those in our discussion topic, so make sure to stay tuned.
Well, we know a lot more about some things coming to Pixar Fest this summer. A new Club Pixar nighttime party will take place in the Hollywood backlot at Disney California Adventure. The Pixar Pals Playtime Party will debut at the Fantasyland Theater. Pixar-themed food and marketplaces will be available. This is a first. And, of course, lots of merchandise options.
This was pretty exciting. So there was a lot more concept art that had been released. So previously we had seen, I think it was just the Turning Red float for the Pixar parade. And now there's concept art showing a Luca themed float as well as a Soul themed float. So I'm very curious to see how this better together a Pixar's Pal celebration parade all comes out. What do you think of that float? I'm real excited about
it. I'm excited because if people haven't seen it,
we're looking at the Luca float.
There's
right
a
now.
Middle section. Whoa, calm
I
down.
I just saw Machiavelli. He's grumping on the back of the
float. I saw him like he was one of the first things I saw on this float. Anyway, the float has a middle section that is water, of course, and everything above water, they're human, and below water, they're sea animals. So it's really cool. I'm curious how this is going to like
what's going to
look like, because I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. But, because there's Machiavelli.
There he is being grumpy.
Do you think they're going to have, what was the dad's name? Because I liked him, too. He was also kind of grumpy.
I'm really excited about this other detail on the float. So Julia is on the Vespa. Ciao. And she's on like the Vespa ramp. Remember, there was a detail in the movie that to like have the ramp angled, they laid it on a tortoise. The tortoise even makes a guest appearance on the float.
Why not? That's,
I mean, come on, details. Like that is a pretty, that's a pretty deep cut to remember the tortoise. I didn't even remember the tortoise was in the movie until I just saw him on there.
Yeah. The one from
Soul
has We Love You, Mr. G, and him standing at the top.
Yeah, it's like Joe who, on top of the float, and it looks, I'm going to assume this is his, the like high school or middle school, I don't remember what age group it was, his band, the school band that he led, that's on the float with him. And then they've got all the like the little cute baby souls all over the float, too.
I like it.
I think it's fun. I'm excited to hear all the music and see these floats. And I'm just, it's really fun to me that they're like, these are, they're not really that new, but they feel like they're very fresh, very new. These are things that haven't really had a lot of presence in the park before. We now have Joe over at the Pixar Place Hotel, of course. And we had a photo op for Luca, but that's kind of been about it. So I'm really excited to see this more.
They actually pointed out for the Together Forever Nighttime Pixar Spectacular, vivid projections and colorful lasers. Remember we talked about the projection system, so I feel like that's kind of alluding to that a little bit.
They have been updated.
What do you think about this Club Pixar?
This, I either missed this or this is brand new. I don't remember talking about this when they first announced Pixar Fest. I think
they did not announce it.
I think this is going to be really fun. The concept art looks great. Pixar Fest 2.0, that's what I'm going to call this new one, because, right, we had Pixar Fest back in 2018. Vern and I went and enjoyed it. Basically, it was just themed decor, themed food. There was the parade. There was the fireworks. That's all I really remember. This is taking it up another level, another notch. The Hollywood Studios Club Pixar looks really fun. There's all these like cool neon signs of Pixar characters and Pixar films. Looks like they're switching the like light posts back there to look like they're Luxo balls. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great space to utilize this. Plus, you've got the Monsters, Inc.
Sure.
Facade.
Do you remember, what was it called? The Mad Tea Party or whatever thing back there?
I never got to experience that.
I think this is going to be like a Pixar version of that, because that was really popular. People really enjoyed that, so might be bringing some of that back. That'd be really
fun. So more on the Club Pixar. There's an interactive DJ dance party, live performances, exciting games, photo opportunity, themed food, of course, and specially crafted beverages and more. Oh, and characters. Of course, there's characters. Another thing that's kind of similar, but over in Disneyland, is Pixar Pals Playtime Party. That's going to be that's going to be located at the Fantasyland Theater. So throughout the day, it's just kind of like they're turning the theater into a dance party, and it looks really immersive, again, from the concept art that was just released.
Sure.
Look, like, you can pretend you're Heimlich tag. There is a giant piece of watermelon for you to go munch on.
That is true.
It looks like there is a photo op with a Monsters Inc. One. Like one of the, I don't know what you call it, the door carrier things. Mm-hmm. Of course, all your friends and pals. I'm real curious how these are going to go.
It looks like the Pixar-themed cake is coming back of to the course. Park at the Plaza Inn. What Did I'm excited about was the booths.
Yeah, so this is the first time that they've done, like, the food booths that are typically reserved for the food festivals, like Food and Wine Festival, Festival of the Holidays.
Yep.
Those food booths are coming back, but they're Pixar themed.
I'm very so excited fun. For summertime dishes inspired by the Italian crust of Portorosa pasta from Lucca, because I have wanted to eat this since I saw the movie.
Yes, I was going to say, if they do not have the pasta that Julia's dad makes, I'm going to be so sad. They have to, right?
They have to, but I'm trying to figure out what
Julia's dad's
because
name is.
We keep calling
there
him
he is.
Massimo.
Yep. Massimo Machiavelli.
But yeah, so I'm excited for that. I think James is going to be really excited for, and some of our weekly tiers talk about Four Town from Turning Red, and there's going to be a tween boy band Turning Red Four Town thing, which will be interesting.
Fun foods perfect for a tween boy band.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, so what do we have? We have the Portorosa pasta that's going to be serving up some summertime dishes. We also have Gusto's To Go, which will be reimagined classics, of course, themed to Ratatouille. The Elemental Table, which will be a playful melange of elements.
We talked about the foods from Four Town already.
Yeah, it's Four Town Fave Four Rights.
Right. The Spark inspired by Soul, which will have feel-good foods to feed your soul. And Hanger Management from Inside Out to appeal to all of your emotions. So that'll be interesting.
That's fun.
There's going to be a complete Pixar Fest foodie guide in the coming weeks. So there's even more than all of that.
Of course, there's going to be encounters with all sorts of Pixar characters. We've got characters we see currently in the park, like characters from Inside Out and The Incredibles, but they also have released that we will be able to meet both Ember and Wade, both from Elemental, and they're going to be making their Disneyland Resort debut just for Pixar Fest.
I'm excited for this Pixar Fest Pizza Planet truck popcorn bucket.
I'm telling you, I'm just real glad that I'm not a popcorn bucket collector, because I wouldn't be able to resist these.
Sure. What do you think about some of the other merch, like the bags?
All sorts of fun merch. Of course, they teased a spirit jersey. We didn't see they didn't show the full spirit jersey. There's what looks to be like a lug, like sling bag or like crossbody bag. Other fun. There's like Pizza Planet jersey, Turning Red t-shirt. Also, I'm sure there's going to be tons and tons and tons of merchandise. Of course, we're going to have festive decor throughout the resort. They already showed a preview of the sculpture that's going to be at the end of Main Street, right where Town Square and Main Street meet. So I think where like the Christmas tree or the Mickey pumpkin usually is. That looks like this really cool stained glass
yeah.
looking thing. I'm excited about
but
that.
But we're going to miss it by 2 days.
No, are we?
We're going to be there the 20th through the 24th.
Yeah, but
this
we're going back
the 26th.
In June.
Right, but I'm saying like we're going to miss
yeah,
the kickoff.
Yeah, we're just going to miss the kickoff, which makes me... I thought we were there accidentally for the kickoff, and I was over the moon, just so excited. I was like getting all hyped about it in our Discord chat, and then I looked at our dates again. I'm like, no, I have the wrong weekend. So close.
That's
so
what
close.
Happens.
We've never been there for a kickoff opening weekend, so that would have been so exciting, but not this time
Speak
either.
Speak for yourself. I was there for the 50th anniversary.
I said we, yeah. like, together
sure.
have not done a kickoff weekend. But anyways, and Pixar Fest is also going to be celebrating in the downtown Disney district as well. So I'm very excited to see how this all comes together. Speaking of fun and exciting things, Tiana's Bayou Adventure is moving right along and is looking closer and closer to completion. This week, plants and flowers appeared. They were blooming on the mountain just in time for spring, making it look more alive and inviting. This is just the first step towards completion, but it is nice and also fun to see some of the work from the outside.
I feel like the Magic Kingdom version has had flowers on it for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And I know they're supposed to both open within a few months of each other. So I was kind of waiting for this because it looks gorgeous in Disney World. So I'm excited that when we're there, this should be really bloomed up and everything.
I don't know if like all the scaffolding will be.
No, but maybe it'll look cool.
Yeah, maybe there won't be as much scaffolding, but I'm really excited to start seeing what this looks like in person.
Yeah, I think they're... I just like seeing that there's stuff going on with it. I feel like they've done a lot of the interior stuff. They're just kind of now... We've gone through the whole period of time where they're tearing it down and doing all the hard stuff. Now they're like building it back
up. I feel like we've gotten over like the hump, right? So it was all the, like you said, all the like prep and removal and work,
destruction and tear down,
and now we're into like the more fun and exciting, it's all coming together part.
What do you think about this?
I'm curious about that. So what Teg's referring to is one of the, I think it was called Slippin' Falls for Splash Mountain. It was one of the outdoor sections of the attraction. They are now actually enclosing that. So Tiana's Bayou Adventure is going to have more indoor sections than Splash Mountain did. I'm just curious to see it all come together. I really have no like real opinion on it, if that makes sense.
I just laughed because David of Fresh Baked was like obsessed with this.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what it was. And
you know,
I am
you
too,
and I
bit.
Would be the same. If we had the like if we were able to be there and check out progress in life, like in real life every week, and like try and notice these details, I think it'd be such a fun game to be like, what do you think that is? And just
I feel like the problem that I would have is I feel like Disneyland and the weekly updates we get from people who are like there in the parks and stuff, I feel like it's like when you're with someone all the time, you don't notice that they're like aging or getting older or whatever. But if you see them occasionally enough, you notice like changes. So I feel like seeing these things once a week, like there's measurable progress. Where I feel like if we went multiple times a week, let's say, I know that's not what you're saying, but like
it'd be harder to
spot. Be hard to be like, okay, what's different now? Because literally we saw it yesterday. But I'm excited for this. I don't know. They might make it by the end of the year, Teresa. It's only March. It's looking pretty good. Anyway.
It's looking good. I think, isn't it supposed to be sometime this year?
It is, but you were saying, I thought we had talked before that we didn't think it was actually going to happen.
Oh, yes. I agree. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Well, speaking of stuff not being open, an entire land is closing soon, but just for a little bit. Starting May 1st, Critter Country will temporarily close to make room for the completion of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, along with the conversion of two existing locations in the area into the Tiana Princess and the Frog theme. Lewis's Critter Club will take over the left side of Pooh Corner. Just to let everybody know, the other side of Pooh Corner where all the candy and stuff is, that is staying Pooh Corner. And Ray's Berets will replace the Briar Patch, which is right now like a hat shop and stuff. Both locations seem to be keeping the same kinds of merchandise as they had before. So like Ray's Berets is still going to be a hat shop as an example. But they're just changing the theming.
So I've got thoughts. I've got thoughts on this.
Okay.
First of all, what's happening to the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh during this? Are people able to still experience that, or is that going to be closed? We don't know for sure yet. They haven't.
They said the
specified.
Land, though.
So it's got to be, but I think it's wild to take out another. Maybe they're just not, I don't know. Maybe it's not getting a lot of foot traffic since you've got everything leading up to it closed. So maybe a lot of people aren't trekking all the way back there, and it's just confusing with all of the construction, because like we talked about a couple weeks back, construction in New Orleans Square for the Haunted Mansion, you cannot walk on the normal walkway. The only walkway that's open is the walkway down along the Rivers of America. So I wonder how many people see that wall, construction walls that they can't go to and assume, oh, it's a dead end. This is as far as I can go. So I don't know how many people are actually making their way all the way back to the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Next, I want to address Pooh's Corner. This has been confusing because a lot of people, myself included, assumed Pooh's Corner, I thought Pooh's Corner was, and it was, the whole building. So both sides, the candy side and the merch side, both were called Pooh's Corner. The whole thing was Pooh's Corner originally. Where I don't know for certain if the name's Pooh's Corner still staying, but 100% Disney did confirm that the candy side will still have the candy and will also have goods from the 100-acre woods available. So the inside of Pooh's Corner is not changing on that section. It's for sure, though.
The treat theming side will remain as a destination from the 100-acre wood.
Yeah, but I don't know if that means, is the one building called two things now?
Yeah, they can do that.
No, I know they can, but I don't feel like it's been clarified yet. So to me, it's still unclear if the name Pooh's Corner will still be associated on the building for that side of the thing, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Now, my final thought.
You have so many thoughts.
I do have a lot of thoughts.
Oh, it is Pooh Corner on this end, too.
Yeah, it's Pooh's Corner on both ends. So that's why it's a little
confusing
and why I'm also now thinking, so is the whole thing going to be one name still, or is it going to be two names? It could be.
I think it'll be two names.
We'll find out. But my last thing, I'm going to preface with this. I love The Princess and the Frog. It is one of my favorite Disney movies, hands down.
It's a good one.
However, I'm a little disappointed right now because it feels like that one attraction is kind of taking over a very large area of the park. Because right now we already have Eudora's Chic Boutique in the New Orleans Square area.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tiana's Palace, the dining section. And then you've got the Haunted Mansion that's in the middle. Then you've got Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And now the two two store locations that were already in Critter Country are being rethemed again to The Princess and the Frog. So let me just count. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that are now all themed to one film. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I cannot think of anything else off the top of my head that has that much, one film that has that much.
Well, unless it's a dedicated land, like Cars Land or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But because Star Wars.
Maybe it's not going to be New Orleans Square anywhere. Maybe it's going to be Tiana Land.
Don't say that. So anyways, I get it. But I also wish that they would have done some sort of more, I don't want to say generic theming, but kind of.
Just more like Bayou, New Orleans themed and not Tiana.
Not necessarily have to tie. I feel there feels like a big need that everything needs to be tied into an IP. And I don't think that's necessary, especially for shops.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be tied back to an IP. I realize I'm being ridiculous because Pooh's Corner was tied to an IP.
But that was just two things, though. But Tiana's
Palace.
Mm-hmm. Has she done meet and greets and stuff there?
She has.
Okay, because I know that was in the concept art, but I was like, I don't hear about that. Yeah. Like she meets and greets.
When they first opened, she was doing meets and
greets.
Not
anymore.
But now we've got all the construction stuff going on, so I wonder if that's maybe put a pause on that.
Hmm.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to assume here. I'm wondering if Tiana and maybe some other friends from the movie. So maybe Lewis the alligator. I wonder if we're going to have a rotation back in Critter Country, if that's what it's going to continue to be named, of the Winnie the Pooh characters, and maybe Tiana and Lewis will meet back there too. Maybe
do you think they're going to get rid of Critter Country?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Hang on. No, I don't think so, because the new store name is Lewis's Critter Club. I think that's intentional.
Sure. Okay.
Tie in with the land. So maybe it's a hot take, but I'm not liking.
You can have hot takes. I'm usually the one with the spicy hot takes.
That's my spicy hot take. And I don't know. And again, absolutely nothing against the film. I love, 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 love the film.
Everything in moderation.
Yes. It just feels like a lot. There's got to be, like, we could have had, this would have been good.
Oh, my goodness.
We could have had, like, a Rescuers Down Under themed something. So it could still be because the Rescuers, because they're also in a swamp. Do you remember that film?
I have never seen that film.
It takes place, like, in a swamp in, like, a bayou.
Sure.
Kind of feel. So you could have had maybe one of the shops be, if you needed it to tie it to an IP, that's a film that also kind of in the same location, I guess would be a good way of saying it. You could have had Even Rude's something. That's the cute.
Well, you know
little...
what's going to separate all this what? Is you're going to have the Haunted Mansion shop in between. Yeah. So it's not just like Tiana.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless Tiana takes over the mansion. She's not. No,
you were talking
not.
About
it's
me
not,
saying incendiary
no,
things.
No, it's not. It's not. Definitely not.
My goodness. Let's move
on. Yeah. Well, a once-in-a-lifetime experience happened for guests boarding Soarin' Over California. Chief Flight Attendant Patrick, portrayed by none other than Patrick Warburton, surprised guests dressed as his safety spiel character. He alluded to his other notable Disney character, Kronk, from The Emperor's New Groove.
My goodness.
I would have fallen, like, I don't know what I would have done.
I saw this and I was like... exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I was. I was just, I would have died.
You were done for.
I would have died because done. I love this character that has taken on. I was so happy that when they switched over the world, they kept the safety spiel from him.
Well, and Patrick, the actor, he was concerned because he also like had this like tight, like, he loved being that character and loved that he was part of the parks. And so I don't remember if it was an interview or what, but he had concern that they weren't good, that he was going to be replaced. And like, he almost fell over when they said, oh no, you're staying. So how stinking cool. How cool.
I think it's amazing that somebody like Patrick Warburton was like, you know what? I'll come and surprise people. It'll be fun. Like we had this conversation during our stream or during our hangout stream. Both.
We had it during our hangout first with Weekly Tears, and then we also had it on our public live stream.
And so we've talked about like what attractions would you want to see somebody from it come from, and I think in my mind, if this wouldn't have happened, this would have been one of the people I would have like been like yes. And of course, you said Johnny Depp, Pirates. Which has also really happened.
Yeah.
So
Chris Pratt has also really done a surprise for guests at the
and I had forgotten this. But Tom Holland came dressed as Spider-Man.
That's true.
For stuff that
he
one
was
day.
Doing. But that was pre Spider-Man attraction.
Yeah.
That was him just pretending he was like the character.
He should
doing
come back
meet
and do
greets.
That again. It'd be so cool.
That would have been amazing. Amazing.
Toontown is getting a new popcorn bucket featuring one of the cutest characters in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Chubby. Is the name of the bird featured at the end of the attraction and is now a fun food container. The new popcorn bucket will be available at the Toontown popcorn cart.
Again, what did I say? The popcorn buckets are just, they've just been so good recently. And Chubby's no exception. He's adorable. He plays a very minor role in that attraction, but he has become a fan favorite.
I think he plays a very important big role because when you're waiting to disembark, he's providing entertainment
for you.
That's
true, but I feel like that wasn't his original intended purpose. That just has been how it happens with the timing of the Disneyland attraction.
Sure.
When we went on it in Walt Disney World, mind you, it was during like the
COVID,
pandemic, so it was different protocols in place. I don't remember sitting and lingering in the final scene as long as the Disneyland one.
There was less guests.
Does.
They were just like,
yeah. So I don't know if, you know, that's a Disneyland specific thing or if it is truly how the attraction is intended to kind of run. He's so cute though.
He is cute. And this reminds me, there's something about this. This isn't like a big character, right? The character from Wish, the little star, is the other like sipper bucket thing that I keep looking at, and they still sell it. And I'm like,
it's teasing,
I feel
it's
like
you.
Maybe it's sticking around because it's like, you need me. But I really don't. But adorable.
Yes.
He looks like he'd hold a lot of popcorn too, actually.
He does.
Not that anybody actually uses these for popcorn.
Well, one of our favorite locations in Downtown Disney is closed for an extended refurbishment. I didn't even know this was coming, and all of a sudden poof, they're closed. The Wonderground Gallery is closed until next winter, according to the Disneyland website. Some of the artwork is still available for purchase at the Disney Home Store, which is right next door. This was surprising to me because
this poor store keeps closing.
We just had an extended refurbishment for this location. Recently, it feels like. Now, I don't remember how recently, but recent.
Yeah. A more recent than it should be for a store that sells art.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here. And we kind of went on this limb last time, too. Do we think that it's going to reopen in the same spot? Or since we're doing a lot of work in Downtown Disney on that side of Downtown Disney, is there a possibility that maybe they're looking to move it? I don't understand what's happening again. And winter 2024, that's a long time. That's basically all year.
That's what it feels like.
Dang.
I don't know.
Poor
but
Wonderground.
When I read this, I was like, again? Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, because Wonderground and the Disney Home Store, maybe it was last year because they were doing something. They were changing the ceiling because it was vaulted ceilings. And now they made it so that building's usable two stories. And I think that was for the new restaurant coming in. I don't know. This was pretty surprising to me. And sad,
this is almost as good as your trees.
I've got a couple of weird hills that I will fight for. Wonderground is one of them, and all the planters and trees is definitely the other one.
Well, according to Bloomberg, there are a few candidates being considered to take over the CEO role at Disney in the future. Dana Walden, the co-chairman of Disney Entertainment, Josh D'Amaro, chairman of Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products. I thought they shortened that title. Alan Bergman, co-chairman of Disney Entertainment, and Jimmy Pitaro, chairman of ESPN and Sports Content. Disney may appoint a CEO or president before Iger exits again, but it is not expected to be chosen in 2024.
I'm not placing any bets. I'm not going to say, oh, this makes the most sense, but I'm curious. I will continue to maintain Disney is a beast, and it is of a company. It is a beast of a company. There's a lot of different stuff all kind of working together. So I feel like the person that's going to replace Iger, it's got to be the right person. Disney was not the monster, or whatever you want to call it, that it is today. Iger kind of created it, so it makes sense that Iger understands how to navigate and run that ship, because it was all, not all, but a lot of it was his doing.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be really, really tough for someone to fill his shoes, because it's such a unique position for someone else to take on. So I'm just curious. We won't get into it. There's a lot of really, really interesting things going on with the Walt Disney Company. So of course, we know that there needs to be a replacement for Iger, because he came back temporarily. That's always been the case. He did extend his contract out. Perhaps he'll extend it out again until they find a suitable replacement. But the other flip side of this that's not getting as much coverage, which we won't talk on because I don't know all the ins and outs and details, but there's a lot of stuff going on as far as the Disney board goes. Disney shareholders are eligible to vote on some things that include board members, but there's two other companies that are vying for seats on the board that are outsiders. So that's kind of a crazy, weird, a lot of things could happen. Disney's in a really interesting place as far as let's look outside of the parks, outside of the movies.
Yeah.
As far as the big structure of it goes. And I've been trying to do my research. There's been a couple of people that have put together some really great videos that I'm trying to gather all the information I can. But it's, man, you talk about you want to go down a rabbit hole. That is an interesting one to kind of venture down and read about and learn about.
Yeah. I don't know who they'll choose. I've never seen Dana Walden or Alan Bergman or Jimmy Pitaro doing anything. I've obviously seen a bunch of stuff from Josh D'Amaro, because he of course oversees the parks. And I think he's very charismatic, but I don't know. Like you said, I think it's a very big organization, mm-hmm. so it's hard to find one person that is experienced enough to make decisions in all of those different arenas. Now, you could have people in place in all of those arenas in the company that are very good at those, mm-hmm. and they kind of report to you, but you kind of, you know what your weaknesses are, and you defer to those people.
Sure, yeah.
But ultimately, like, the say is yours as the CEO. But it's just one of those things that'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I don't know enough about it, like you said. My initial reaction to people trying to take over the board and do all this stuff is I don't think that that's ever a good thing. I mean, this happened in the 80s, and that's when Eisner and Wells came in and saved the company, luckily. But
yeah, thankfully, when it happened then,
yeah.
it was for the good,
yeah.
and it benefited the company.
Yeah, but those people like were brought in by the board. Like it wasn't part of a takeover. Yeah. It stopped a takeover.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping that like Disney will do this again and be around for another 100 years and then mm-hmm. all of this stuff. So there's a lot going on.
There is a lot. Well, on a more happy, lighter, positive note, a space visitor from the East Coast has made his way to Disneyland. Astronaut Mickey has landed in Tomorrowland, appearing to walk up the support column for the new DVC kiosk. This is the one that looks like just refurbished it, and it looks like a spaceship. Yep. Mickey is sporting a new outfit than what he had in Epcot, and it's better matched to the theming of Disneyland's Tomorrowland.
We had a ton of news. How did this end up in here? You put it in, and I was like, all right.
Fun and so cute. And I don't know. I think it was good that we landed on a lighter, happier note after we talked about the complicatedness
sure.
of a company that Disney is. I don't know. I just thought it was cute. I'm also the nerd that's stupidly excited that next time we're there to like go see this. Just because it's new.
Of course
new.
You are. Of course you are. Yep.
There's something new in Tomorrowland, Tag. Get excited.
They took away your trees, but gave you a Mickey.
Yeah,
you're
but
happy.
Gave me a
okay.
Mickey.
Well, we first spoke with our friends over at Where in the Park back on episode 265. Amanda and Kevin create amazing and fun seek and find scavenger hunt games in the theme parks all over the United States. Whether you want a challenge at the Disneyland Resort or want to explore a new place like Universal Studios, Knott's Berry Farm, or SeaWorld, there are fun game packs for everyone. From beginner to expert, Where in the Park is perfect for a first-time visit to experience the small details that make the parks wonderful places to visit or to challenge yourself on your 1,000th visit to find how well you know the small details. Where in the Park is for you. Visit the link in our show notes to get started and get a discount.
Yep, and use discount code DLWeekly. This just inspired me because we've just kind of, it's been brought to the forefront of our minds. We are approaching our next trip to the parks. We're like...
That we'll be there for a few days.
Yeah, we're just a month away. We're going to have time, which... The last couple of park trips were kind of more like long weekend trips for us. This one's going to be closer to a week, so we're very excited. Plus, we had no blackout dates. We should take our Where in the Park cards. I think that'd be great.
June is the Bob Gerr
thing. June is when we've got other stuff going on. I think we should take them for June, too. I think it'd be fun to do with both James and Vern with us.
Yeah, we could be like, ha, you get to figure out some stuff.
Here, that's what we could do with them. We can give them the cards that we have already solved because we did solve some cards
that's
on a previous trip, just the two of us. So we'll give them those cards to work on. James did do the Knott's Berry Farm hunt with us.
That
was challenging because that is...
We don't know that park at all.
We don't know that park. No, we do not. But it was still fun. We were still able to find stuff.
Yoo-hoo! Hello, everybody! It's me, Heimlich! My stomach is so empty! Hey! Help me to go find something to eat! Come on, everybody! Here we go!
Well, this week in Snack Chat, Disney has dropped their Easter foodie guide. Woo! Foodie guide! I feel like there's, like, every other week there's a foodie guide, which... We are here for in Snack Chat
because I am on.
We love the snacks.
I am
don't
on.
Don't look at all this part tag. Don't look at the Disney World stuff.
I am
looking
on
at the land.
A thing like the last time we had a foodie guide. There is one item I'm excited about.
Go for it. What is that item?
The Great Maple, available March 30th through April 5th. There's a truffled egg salad tarts, which are truffled egg salad with sweet relish in a puff pastry tart topped with maple bacon and smoked paprika.
Those do sound good. I want to highlight really the only thing in the parks. I'm sorry. But really the only thing in the parks outside of the normal like candies and treats like the caramel apples, the Easter eggs that we've talked about already, and like the Rice Krispie treat type things is just the spring stuff. So it's the spring variation or the Easter variation for the gray stuff that's at the Red Rose Tavern. So fun. The Donald Duck Spring Egg Sipper, which is just crazily adorable, is available around both parks in Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. But the thing that's always fun about these holidays is there's special events or special meals that are put on at different locations. So at Storytellers Cafe, this is available March 31st only, they're offering an Easter dinner buffet. So you can enjoy an Easter feast with appearances from characters to help celebrate the holiday. And then also over at Goofy's Kitchen, this one's available for a longer period of time, March 28th through May 12th. There's Goofy's Kitchen Springtime Buffet. So it's join Goofy and some of his friends, including Clarabelle, dressed in their spring best along with festive seasonal decor in the restaurant for breakfast, brunch, and dinner. So I'm going to assume there's probably a refreshed menu as well.
Sure.
And it's not just characters in new clothes, but maybe it is characters, just characters in new clothes, but they didn't really specify anything about the food. But we'll find out.
Our little bunny butts are back.
They're so cute. There's a bunny butt cake pop, and there's a bunny butt. That's not actually what it's called. Disney calls them bunny, just a bunny, but it's definitely like the bunny rabbit's like
fluffy going, tail with feet.
It's like they're going down the rabbit hole, and that's what the last part of them that you see.
Okay, I know we're talking about Disneyland, but I do want to talk about a couple things that look good here. So in Disney World, a couple things. Look at this. This thing looks amazing. Okay, so I always talk about how Disney doesn't make fun
cutesy stuff,
but Disney World seems to be doing it. So it's at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's a carrot tart. It's a carrot cake, cream cheese, citrus mousse with caramel insert, chocolate shell, and toasted coconut. But it looks like a giant carrot sitting on top of a thing. Also, at the Boardwalk Deli at Disney's Boardwalk, there's a hot cross buns, and something about that just also looks really yummy.
Delicious.
Is it the flower pot? The bunny pop flower pot? It's a chocolate flower pot filled with jelly beans and three chocolate bunny pops. I don't think that's
not that.
This is probably this one down here. It's the Bunny Burrow Dirt Cup. Layers of chocolate cake, chocolate buttercream, cookies and cream pieces with springtime decor. Looks really good.
See, I always get really amazed when they show what some of the overseas parks have. So if you're interested and need to look and see how amazing some of the food items are overseas, they did include what's going on at the Shanghai Disney Resort, as well as
look at these brunches,
the Hong Kong Disney Resort. And Tokyo. They've got Tokyo on here.
Ugh.
Paris doesn't have as many photos. They do have a list, but not as many photos. But the creativity and it's just beautiful. Like the things in some of these parks overseas, I would almost feel guilty eating because they're so amazing. They're spectacular. How long did it take for them to put some of these things together kind of thing? It's incredible. So if you need any sort of inspiration as to why you should visit an overseas park, go ahead, check out the foodie guide and see how awesome their food is.
I want this Easter basket panna cotta. Passion fruit coconut strawberry panna cotta.
Take a trip to Walt Disney World so you can enjoy.
Get it out of my system.
Enjoy their snacks.
Yeah, because then there should be a Pixar foodie guide coming.
Pixar Fest foodie guide soon. Don't forget about the Porto Rosso pasta booth.
I'm very excited to see what comes from that. Well, our friends over at All Enchanting Ears have been busy. They make fun and unique ears, plus ear holders, straw toppers, lithophanes, and more. They're offering a special discount code available to all weekly tiers. Use code DLWEEKLY10 for 10% off your entire purchase. Head on over to allenchantingears.com to check them out.
DL Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got some awesome listener-submitted questions all lined up for you. How are you feeling tonight? Do you have some awesome answers lined up in your heads?
You told us we were going down, so no.
Oh, I specifically said, it's going down. I'm yelling timber.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not going to continue. I don't know how it is with copyright music lyrics. Anyway, should we get right to it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Let's just do it like a Band-Aid and just
rip it off.
All right. Your first listener submitted question from listener Hashtag save Teresa's trees.
What?
That is the name I was given.
Okay.
I'm like, I've become the Lorax for Disneyland. I speak for the trees. Because, right, first it was the pirates.
Well, they're all gone now.
The pirates' trees, and recently it's been the planters. Remember, maybe I just...
I think you need to be doing a little bit better because...
I know, they're not listening. I need to go...
You need to go tie yourself to the trees.
No, no, I'm going to go stand on one of the stumps, like how the Lorax just appears when they cut the tree down.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I don't know who this is.
Anyway.
A plus 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 for creativity.
Well, at least they listen.
They do.
Yeah.
And if anybody's looking to turn this into an actual hashtag, there is an apostrophe in Teresa's. So it's hashtag save Teresa's with an apostrophe trees.
Oh my gosh.
I think we need shirts. Hashtag save Teresa's. Yeah. Anyway.
Tag, can you make sure that gets in the show notes?
Yes.
Anyway. Oh, we Trivia Land is adjourned. That was, we can't top that.
You just don't want to get any non-points this week. All right, so, Vern, what do the tree person have for us?
From listener, hashtag save Teresa's trees. In Star Tours, the adventures continue. You have the pleasure of waiting in a delightfully detailed queue.
Oh, yes.
Occasionally, you'll pick up chatter from old droids or iconic characters. Mm-hmm. If you listen carefully, you'll hear an announcement to a Mr. George Sakul. Who is this a reference to?
It's Lucas backwards,
yeah,
right?
George Lucas.
Yeah. Sakul is Lucas backwards.
Mm-hmm. Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, save Teresa's trees. Doing good for us.
I hope they put in multiple questions so we get to hear this over and over and over again.
My goodness.
Here's second listener submitted question from listener Andy M. What famous real-life building inspired the facade of Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh.
Teresa, you and I have been there.
Somewhere in New Orleans, I'm guessing.
We've traveled all over the U.S.
We've traveled, so we have not been to, like, Texas, so it's not like the Alamo.
Well, I don't think the Alamo looks like New Orleans.
No, I know. I don't... We've been to the city it's in, or we've been to the place?
We have stood across from it.
Oh, boy.
I may have even taken a picture of it.
I don't know, but I feel like I've got a better excuse for not knowing than you do, since you were literally there.
You 100% do. No, I agree. It's probably somewhere in New Orleans. Oh, no. I was like, what's that famous, like, the church in the square down in the do you know what I'm talking about?
In the French Quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Jackson, Jackson Square or whatever.
I don't know what the building, I don't remember what the building's called, but it's got a steeple and pirates definitely. I'm just going to say that.
I don't think that's it, but good choice. Yeah.
Never mind. He thought he had a picture of it. He definitely has a picture of that building.
So he has a picture?
Of the square, the building I'm trying to think of the name of. Oof. Their train station doesn't look like that. I can tell you that much because we went through their train station. I don't know.
Anyway,
that's my best guess is the church that's in the middle of Jackson Square.
I got nothing. The St. Louis Cathedral is what the church is in there.
And it looks nothing like pirates. But that's my only guess.
All right. Yeah, so not really. St. Louis Cathedral not at all. And I got nothing.
Final I got nothing. Answers? Yep.
All right. Your third listener submitted question from listener Todd B. In the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Queue, you visit the collector's personal office. On his desk, there is an invoice from XS Tech about the containment units that he has the Guardians in. Which former Walt Disney World attraction did XS Tech originate from?
I want to say Tower of Terror, just because tie into the...
Tech. I don't know. Disney World, you said, huh?
There is a hint in the question that it's Walt Disney World attraction.
Yeah. I'm going to say Horizons.
You're saying Horizons.
Horizons, I think, yeah.
All right.
I'm sticking with Tower of Terror.
And Tower of Terror. All right. Final answer.
Yeah.
All right. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Kayla B. Name the Disney characters that have been added to It's a Small World. That's counting
before,
Pixar.
We have had this, and I still think we're not going to.
How many are there, Vern?
A lot. There are a lot.
I will accept anywhere from 29 to 37, depending on which website you are trusting.
Well, now. Each small world that has had characters added have different characters. So, like Walt Disney.
Which is why I'm saying, which website are we trusting? I've specifically researched that I've found on Disneyland, and the count that was provided by listener Kayla B, there's 29.
Okay. 29. Okay. So, first room. There's.
You're going to try to go by rooms? Yes, I don't remember what rooms there are.
Okay. I'm just like mentally as we're going through it, it's like the, I don't know, like the Arctic or something. I don't think there's anybody in that first room.
I know there's Peter Pan and Tinkerbell.
Right. Yes. But are they the first ones that we see? Okay. We're going to start there. Peter Pan.
Tinkerbell. Pinocchio.
Hang on. Why am I the one that always gets it right?
I don't, because you are the ones who chooses to write the answers.
And Jiminy Cricket's with him.
Yep. We got Stitch and what's her name?
We had Abu. We have Aladdin and Jasmine.
Yep. Oh, this doesn't seem like it's going to be so hard when we include all of them. It's not just the movie. It's like all of the characters. Yep.
There's Cinderella, Jack, and Gus.
Oh, yeah. There's what's her name?
There's
Lilo
Alice.
And Stitch,
hang on,
right?
There's we're not that far in yet. There's Alice.
I love how you're still trying to go through in the one way.
Because otherwise we're going to forget. The White Rabbit.
Little Mermaid, too.
Little Mermaid.
Lilo and Stitch.
Hang on.
Timon and Pumbaa.
Stop. Little Mermaid, Lilo. You also forgot.
I didn't forget. I'm just going by ones that I remember.
Yeah, Dory and
Nemo.
Marlin. I don't think it's Nemo. I think it's Marlin.
Okay.
And then there's also Mowgli.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, let me think, there's Jesse, Woody, and Bullseye.
Yeah, that's three right there. That's pretty good.
There's Donald. Oh, no, what are the other Caballeros names? Donald.
Isn't it like Jose and...
Jose and Pan...
Poncho?
Panchero? Something like that. Hang on. We also...
Somebody is screaming at their podcast right now.
Timon.
Pumbaa.
And Simba. Oh, Mulan.
Mushu.
And Mushu. Now I'm trying to remember. I don't think is Cricky there?
Who?
The cricket from Mulan. Okay, let's count. Wait, 29! Holy cow, we may have done it. Okay, final answer.
Okay.
Did you get all those, Vern?
So you said Pan and Tinkerbell, Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket, Aladdin, Jasmine, Abu, Cinderella, Jack, Gus, Lilo, Stitch, White Rabbit, Dory, Marlin, Mowgli, Jesse, Woody, Bullseye, the Three Caballeros, Timon, Pumbaa, Simba, Mulan, and Mushu, right?
Yes.
I think so, yep.
All righty then.
Sounds about right.
And your bonus question tonight.
I don't have space on my little notes anymore because we've had such long questions the last 3 weeks now.
Your bonus question from listener Ryan P. This is a three-parter.
Oh, I definitely don't have room for this.
What year was King Arthur's Carousel constructed? Where was it originally located? And what change was made to it when it was refurbished for Disneyland?
All horses and they're white.
They're all the galloping horses or whatever they are.
White horses.
It was from a place in Germany, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it was from a park in Germany.
It's old.
It was like
sometime in like the 1800s, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know the year.
1897.
Sure. I'm just going along with all that.
Okay, so 1897. Because
all I got was
somewhere
white
in
horses.
Germany.
Well, they were horses.
And they were all the galloper ones or something. There's like a specific term for them.
Yeah. And they weren't all white originally, but then they realized everyone was going to the white horses, so they painted them all white.
Yeah.
All galloping horses.
Yeah.
Okay, final answer.
Yeah.
So as good as it gets this week.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion, and we will all find out together.
This week for our discussion topic, we got lucky, because sometimes Disney announces things like Wednesday when we post the episode, but we were lucky enough to...
They were looking out. They knew.
Sure.
They knew.
that they announced they announced a lot of details for the D23 Expo that's happening in Anaheim this August of 2024, and there are some big changes for this go-around. So what are some of the basics?
So... we're going to kind of try and cover this in sections, but to give you a little bit of an overview. So the expo is no longer called the expo. It's the Ultimate Disney Fan Event. I feel like that was a very good, like, that's how they like Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. Like,
oh,
I feel
goodness.
Like that was a good way of the Ultimate Disney Fan
sure.
Event. I mean, this event has grown and grown and grown each year. This year, though, I feel like it exploded. Like, it did more than just grew.
I think it needed to.
It exploded. So, thing number one that's different. Again, we will talk about all of these things more in detail later. The biggest thing that's changed, though, in my mind, is that the major panels, so we're thinking the parks panel, we're thinking the Disney Legends ceremony, there's also a entertainment, we'll call it, panels that was like Marvel dedicated,
Star Wars
dedicated. Those big major panels that everybody wanted to get in, that people were lining up for hours to try and get into standby. And usually these panels were so massive that, I mean, everybody can't physically get into them.
Yeah.
Because they had the biggest space at the Expo Center. Well, they know that these are popular. And so what they actually are doing is moving these big panels to down the street to the Honda Center. Now, I don't know how many people the Honda Center can fit, but I know it's a heck of a lot more than what they could fit in the expo, like the main expo stage area. So that's huge. So we're going to talk about what that kind of looks like, how that's going to work.
Sure. The basics are that it's going to happen in Anaheim from August 9th to 11th. So let's just paint that picture quickly.
Oh, yeah, back up.
Yeah. Of course, again, it's presented by Visa. So if you're a Disney Visa card holder, like, there's a lot of cool things that go along with that. Now, some of the new things are, we want to talk about these things.
Yeah,
right?
So they're also expanding this outside of the expo. So, or outside of the Ultimate Disney Fan Event. So D23 Expo used to be, well, like the years we've attended, 3 days, all at the Expo Center.
Yeah.
And the Expo is open from... Anaheim Convention Center, sorry. The Expo is open from... I don't remember when to...
I think it was like 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So it was a full day, but it wasn't... Like, you could still do stuff. You could still go to... If you somehow weren't exhausted from the Expo.
Which you would
still
be.
Go to the parks in the evenings if you chose to do so.
Or the hotels, which we've done.
Or just go enjoy dinner somewhere, you know, whatever. It used to be those 3 days, that's it. Well, they've actually added events before... So there's just more days and more fun outside of the 3 days that is the D23 Expo / the Ultimate Disney Event. We will get into what those look like first.
Okay.
So first up.
So the first one is on Thursday, August 8th, so the day before the actual fan event starts, is the D23 day at the Disneyland Resort. So it's going to kick off the weekend's festivity. It's going to be the first ever D23 day at Disneyland. So both parks... will welcome ticketed D23 fans from Rope Drop to Late Night, featuring unique offerings for fans, including custom cavalcade, an energetic dance party, special photo ops, and more. Disney Junior will be there at Disney California Adventure. And then on Sunday, August 4th, downtown Disney guests will find special offers, decor, and magical moments. Disney Junior festivities will also extend through Sunday, August 11th at the downtown Disney. Of course, admission to both theme parks is available for purchase to all Disney fans. Your D23 ticket doesn't get you to Disneyland.
So they announced this back at Destination D23, and we were excited. Like, you and I were excited about this, but we didn't know what this meant exactly.
Yeah.
But we're like, this sound like, I don't know what it is, but it sounds fun. It sounds cool. So it's cool to have more of a More of an explanation. Of course, details have not been released. This is kind of like a little pixie dusting or a little teaser of what to expect and what to come. This is actually sounding bigger than what my thought was of what it was going to be. Because, sure, like Tag mentioned, this is Disneyland Park. This is DCA. There's stuff happening in both of those spaces. Plus, there's going to be stuff happening in Downtown Disney as well, specifically for D23 members. Yeah. So some of the stuff that could be happening, like in Downtown Disney, is maybe there's specific discounts at shops that D23 members are getting. For sure, there's going to be, mm-hmm, like Tag mentioned, also photo ops and stuff like that. I'm really excited. There's a cavalcade. They're putting together a special cavalcade for this. I'm real curious to see how this all goes. We are planning to be there not only for the expo, the Ultimate Disney Fan Event, but we just so happen to already be planning to be there early. So I think we're going to be able to be there for the first ever D23 Day at the Park.
Yeah.
I'm excited to experience it.
Some of the other things that are happening are throughout the week leading up to it. There's additional opportunities to celebrate. So at the Angel Stadium on August 4th is D23 Day at Angel Stadium. Mm-hmm. So if you're a fan of the Angels.
First ever.
Yeah. The Angels are going to play the New York Mets. And there'll be special trivia, photo spots, and more. The first 23,000, see what they did there?
Uh-huh.
Fans in the gate will also receive a commemorative and one-of-a-kind D23 Mickey Mouse bobblehead. So tickets for that are on sale now for D23 members.
Yes, and they are specially priced for D23 members as well. Then
this sounds fun, actually. This
Tuesday, August 6th, starting at 5 p.m., will be D23 night at the Anaheim Packing District. So fans can meet up for the night in the heart of downtown Anaheim to enjoy local foods, drinks, trivia, and of course, special D23 touches. No ticket is required for this event, and fans can just mix and mingle and get excited for all the fun and magic coming that weekend.
Do we need to go do this? Because there's the next thing you're going to read.
Oh, no. I didn't even read that part. Oh, okay. D23 will also be partnering with Ravensburger. Oh, dang. To create a game night integration where fans can learn to play the Disney Lorcana trading card game or try some of their other games like Disney Villainous, Introduction to Evil, and Chronicles of Light, Darkness Falls, Disney Edition. There's a Lorcana. I'm just excited that
Lorcana. That's the day before we're there.
It is. We're planning to fly in on Wednesday, and this is happening Tuesday.
I have also heard really good things about the Anaheim Packing
District. I have
too.
We need to, one of these trips, we've got longer trips planned this year. We're going to have to go over there. It's not that far either. We're going to have to make a point to do it. So the one thing that we will be there before, so we're not going to be there for the Angels game, which I don't think is something either of us would be like, that's not our thing.
I am sad about the Packing District because that would be cool.
The Packing District would be cool. Maybe we'll work out some Disney magic. Who knows? But on Wednesday, August 7th at 8 p.m., the Incredibles screening will be taking place, and it's the Incredibles 20th anniversary.
It's so been 20 years.
Isn't that wild? This will be an outdoor screening at Pearson Park Amphitheater located in Anaheim, California. And D23 is collaborating with Street Food Cinema. So the event, like I said, will take place. You do need tickets. Tickets are already available. Just fun, 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 fun. So, of course, they're celebrating 20 years of The Incredibles. There's going to be a D23 event exclusive commemorative gift, of course, celebrating The Incredibles, reserve seating, and early entry to the amphitheater. And there's going to be all sorts of food trucks, snack stands, I love that, with food and drinks available for guests to purchase.
I mean, that's kind of a cool event. I think my biggest takeaway from all of this is it's cool that they know a bunch of people are going to be in the area.
Yeah.
And this type of stuff is really going to benefit the community, mm-hmm, because people are going to come in now earlier to,
yep,
be part of all this.
Yep.
The Angels are going to get people coming in. The Packing District's going to get business from, yeah, this. The amphitheater and everything around there is going to get. I mean, I think Disney is doing a really great job to not only bring people in to showcase Disney, but also to showcase the community.
Yeah, this is incredible. And the thing that's like I'm trying to wrap my mind on is that the people that work Like, think of how much work this is for this group of people to put these things all together. Expo slash the Ultimate Fan Event, the 3 days. I don't even understand how they organize and get that all put together, because that's like...
Herculean.
Pure magic. Pure magic is what that is that those people do to make that insane event happen. And it goes off. I mean, I'm sure there are hiccups, but from our view, I mean, just walking through that expo floor, it's endless. I don't. Yeah. How do you keep all that? It's wild. It's amazing.
You want to talk about tangents?
Yeah, but I'm saying. Yeah. So not only are they doing all this, but now they're doing all of these four separate events.
Yeah.
Leading up to, that's just.
I hope that these are all successful, because I think that this is going to be good for everybody.
And I wasn't even trying to like spin that back into the last thing that we talked about, which was the Incredibles.
I see what you did there.
I am wildly excited about this event. Tag was making fun of me because we were talking about this, and I just, in our chat, I just, oh my God. Gosh, because this is just, I don't know why, but this is wildly exciting. Just so exciting. And we get to go and experience it.
So
cross our fingers we get tickets, because I feel like it's going to be maybe hard to get tickets, because everyone's going to want to be there.
The next thing that's changing, that's a big change, but I think it's going to be a positive one, is the Honda Center. So for the first time, the Honda Center is going to be home to 3 nights of marquee showcases. The showcases are going to be Disney Entertainment, which is all of their movies and TV shows and everything, Disney Experiences, which of course is things like theme parks and all of that, and Disney Legends, which of course is like a legend ceremony and people who have made great contributions to the company. And so previously, like Teresa said earlier, there's been this whole expo section that people waited for, and it was this whole big thing. But they are going to provide a free shuttle from the Anaheim Convention Center to the Honda Center, where people who have these tickets will have specific seats in a venue.
Yes, it's assigned seating. Yeah. So there's no need to be lining up hours in advance.
For days. Yeah.
And hoping, and you know, that you get in, A, hoping that you get in, but then B, hoping you get a seat kind of a thing. So I feel like this is going to take off so much stress from expo goers, because this is just something you don't necessarily, as long as you get the appropriate tickets, this is something you can kind of now have a little more control over.
Right. The only thing for me, the only concern I have is we're already very tired by the time 7 p.m. rolls around from an expo day. And it's been really nice to just like go to downtown Disney and get something to eat, go to the hotel, like, and get ready for the next day.
Sure.
Because I think the expo is more tiring than the theme park.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too. Because it's like, there's so many things. It's impossible to do everything at expo. You need to know that. You need to understand that before going.
I also think that now this might be the year that it's more possible to see more of what you want.
I think so too.
These things, though, each of these three main events starts at 7 p.m. So when the show, when the expo officially ends for the day, then these things kick off. So, and judging by how these have gone in the past, they're usually 2 to 3 hours worth of announcements and presentations. So you're looking at, you know, 7, 8, 8 to 9, 9, so 10 p.m. maybe. And anyway,
on Friday, August 9th, is the Disney Entertainment Showcase. So what we are thinking this is instead of having a separate, like maybe Star Wars devoted, Marvel devoted, they might still have those panels. They might just not be the same scale as they were before. We're thinking they're kind of wrapping it all into one.
Yeah.
And they're calling it the Disney Entertainment Showcase, because what it says is they talk about Disney's film studios, television and streaming services, live stage shows like Broadway and beyond. So that's huge. That's a huge thing that they're going through. So join favorite stars as they give a peek behind the curtain at some upcoming projects, never before seen footage and art, surprise announcements always, and special guests, plus musical performance and exclusive new content coming to the big screen, smaller screen stages. All of the wonderful announcements for Disney Entertainment.
Now, this is going to be, I think, good, because last expo, we couldn't get into something, or something happened timing-wise, and we ended up going into, like, the Disney Channel.
We went into one that we...
But it was really good.
It was really, really good. It wasn't, like, one that we were, excited at the about. Top of our list.
Yeah.
Need to go kind of.
But it was good.
It was great.
So I feel like they're going to encompass all of those things into one, because the Marvel panel was always very thing where they talked about all the new Marvel shows coming out, and the Star Wars one, they talked about all the Star Wars shows coming out. And they had a Disney Plus one where they announced, you know, two expos ago, where they announced all the Disney Plus stuff coming. So this sounds like it's going to encompass all of that.
Yeah, it's just, I'm excited. The thing that I'm looking forward to so much is these, if you've ever experienced these panels or if you've ever heard about these panels, they're just like, the excitement in the air is almost palpable. So like, you've just got all of these fans super excited. They're great about like boom, 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 you know, giving all these great announcements and keeping the energy up. I'm just trying to fit. And that was in, I mean, it was a big space, but it's nowhere near what they're going to be able to do here.
Well, think about this way, Teresa. It's going to be like a rock concert.
Yes. Three nights in a row of Disney announcement rock concert level quality.
We're going to be exhausted.
I'm glad that we're going a couple of days before to kind of like prep ourselves. And we've got a couple of days after to recoup before we have to get on our flight and come back to reality. I can't wait. I don't even care where we sit in this thing. I just think it's going to be so exciting.
I think just being in the space. Yep.
Yes.
Now, the next one is Saturday, August 10th, also at 7 p.m., is the Disney Experiences Showcase. Now, I feel like this one's actually getting a promotion, because didn't the Parks panel used to be on Sunday morning, like the last day of Expo?
It did. They've switched up the order.
So this one is going to have
How much money that they're going to spend.
Well, yes.
That they got
right.
For all the parks projects coming up.
This one's going to have Josh D'Amaro doing a special showcase featuring the latest on new and highly anticipated projects in development. I really hope that we hear more about some Disneyland Forward stuff, that we hear about whatever this Avatar thing that they keep about. But also just stuff around the world for Disney parks, experiences, and beyond. They say that global announcements, special surprises, and show-stopping performances will be a show that the biggest Disney fans won't want to miss. So it seems like this one is something that they're really hyping up to be like a big deal.
This is my expectation. I know it's not realistic, but just go with me here.
New Tomorrowland.
No. Well, I mean, there's that. No. I was going to say as far as like level, like, sure. Right? So the level that we had at the Parks panel before, one of the exciting things was Magic Happens. They announced Magic Happens, this new parade, and the next thing you know, you've got the singers coming out doing this like, they're going to drive the parade floats out on this, because why? They can. They've got the space. No, I'm just kidding. But like, that's the, I'm expecting like just to be like, how do I say this? In previous major panels at Expo, I felt like there were times that I had to like pick my jaw up the floor because I was shocked at what we just saw kind of happen. I was on the edge of my seat. I feel bad for those people that were sitting near me, including you, Tag. But anyways, so this, I'm like, I don't even know what to expect. The sky is literally the limit, because why? They could shoot off fireworks if they wanted.
One of these nights they will shoot fireworks off.
I think so too. I don't know. Maybe all of them.
Probably the parks night.
Maybe all of them.
How much you want to bet they do parks? Do you know what would be
maybe
amazing?
Maybe they're going to preview a show.
Do you know what would be amazing?
What?
Because we're in a... The Honda Center's inside, though, isn't it? Dang. I was going to say, you know what would be amazing? It would be amazing if they did a special performance of Remember Dreams Come True, because they could launch the fireworks from around the thing, but it doesn't matter because it's all inside and covered.
We'll have to stand outside in the parking lot
My own dreams
yourself down. But they could still do something like drive a Paint the Night float out.
I think it's
going to
be spectacular no matter what they do.
I think it's going to be amazing.
So what's the closer?
Amazing. The closer used to be the opener. The Disney Legends Ceremony will be taking place on August 11th. This one, though, at 5 p.m. So we can have a little extra sleep that night. The first big new announcement is the first dang word of this. Ryan Seacrest will be hosting this special ceremony to celebrate the 2024 class of Disney Legends. So 14 individuals who have made a significant impact on the Disney legacy. They've already released the list. We will go over that in a minute. But I wanted to say real quick before we got into who this year's honorees or legends will be, there was an interview with Michael Vargo that we will link, of course, in the show notes on the Walt Disney Company website. And he talks about how this new version of Disney Legends, you got to think of it. They're elevating the whole experience, according to him, and they're doing everything that they can to kind of elevate the entire weekend. But he says here, and I quote, "It will be an Oscar caliber experience at the Honda Center." That's the awards presentation that these folks deserve.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're upping the production value on this, and it's going to be much more of an entertainment spectacular.
Wow.
So I don't even know what that means. Like, clearly I've never been to, like, the Oscars. I mean, I've seen it on TV, but, like, it's not just the awards. There's also, like, musical acts and all sorts. So who knows what this is going to be, but I'm just,
I think it'll be awesome. The people that are going to be done here, I'm just going to go through them and we can comment on a few of them, is we've got Colleen Atwood, who's a costume designer, Angela Bassett from film and television, Martha Blanding from Parks and Resorts, James L. Brooks from television, James Cameron, of course, the director from a bunch of things like Avatar, Jamie Lee Curtis,
Titanic.
Yep. Miley Cyrus from television and music. Steve Ditko from publishing. Harrison Ford. I don't even need to say anything else. Mark Henn from animation. Frank Oz from film and television, also known as Yoda and Kermit the Frog, I think. Didn't he do Kermit the Frog? Kelly Ripa from
television.
Well, was Regis and Kelly, but now is somebody else in Kelly. Of course, John Williams.
Used to be Ryan and Kelly.
Right. John Williams from Star Wars and a bunch of other things. And the one, of course, we're excited about, Joe Rohde, Mr. Imagineer himself.
Every time, I'm going to be honest, every time that they release these lists, I get a lot of emotion. This whole thing's been a roller coaster of emotions for me. But the thing that I always, this year especially, there's always people on here that I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And out of politeness, I'm not going to name who those people are. You can draw conclusions. The thing that just, like, was incredibly wildly confusing to me is there are four names on this list. Four. That I'm just beside myself were not already Disney. How was Harrison Ford not already a Disney legend? John Williams? Joe Rohde? Frank, like, it's wild to me that those four in my mind, they were already Disney legends. So when they appeared on this list, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I need to do some research because Mark Hamill's a Disney legend. Carrie Fisher is a Disney legend. Why would a Harrison Ford not have been inducted that same
year? That's a great question.
Perhaps maybe he declined. I don't know. But
I don't think that's what happens, but maybe.
I don't know. I'm beside myself.
One thing that I remember.
James Earl Jones was just recently, too, and he was Darth Vader.
Mufasa. One thing that I remember from when we went to the Legend ceremony last time was the people that we didn't know would get up and have some of the best stories.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to learn more about these people. Because, like,
too.
We know so much about Harrison Ford. We know so much about Joe Rohde. We know so much about John Williams.
Amazing, amazing
but
individuals.
It's going to be really cool to hear from, like, Colleen Atwood about costume design.
Yes.
She designed,
so we're going to, of course, have the links in our show notes. Yeah. She designed costumes for such films as, like, the Alice in Wonderland movies, which were gorgeous, beautiful costumes. And her first film, so she worked a lot with Tim Burton. Their first film together was Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, wow.
Which I love. I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. And that was the first of 12 Burton movies she designed costumes for.
Oh, wow.
So again, Alice in Wonderland, Dumbo. I don't think this is Disney, but the upcoming Beetlejuice that's coming out in 2024 will be her and Tim Burton's 13th creative collaboration. I love that. I love that that just happens to be number 13. But for other Disney-specific ones, Lady and the Tramp, the live-action Lady and the Tramp, and most recently, The Little Mermaid.
Wow.
I just...
All right. Well, we could talk about the legends for an entire discussion topic.
Yeah.
But the show floor is going to be amazing, like Teresa was saying earlier. I just read this and thought this was amazing. This year, D23, the official Disney fan club, worked with Walt Disney Imagineering to redesign and expand the immersive show floor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to, I just can't, and the thing that's so exciting to, I'm sorry, I just can't contain anymore. Apparently. It's a good thing. This isn't a, maybe, it's, I don't know, maybe it's good, maybe it's not good. I'm like flailing my hands all over place because I'm so excited. The thing though is because they took those big panels outside of the expo.
Yeah.
And
they have more room.
They have more room, but we have more time because each time that we did one of those big panels, you wouldn't get released and like back out onto the panel floor. It was noon, 1 o'clock by the time you were done with it. So a lot of your expo day was spent in those big panels. So the fact that I now have the morning back is, we have so much time to do all the fun things. So much time for activities, Tag.
What is on the show floor?
So on the show floor, of course, there's going to be pavilions from Pixar and Walt Disney Animation Studios, Disney Plus, Marvel Studios, Disney Experiences, Lucasfilm, and a first of its kind exhibit from the Walt Disney Archives titled A Great Big Beautiful Car Show. So I bet you clearly we're featuring cars. They did do a post on their Instagram today talking about some of the cars that will be part of this exhibit. Cars and vehicles. One of them's the Cruella de Vil.
Of course. Like, that's literally the first vehicle I thought of.
It was Sharpay's hot pink car from High School Musical. Okay. And then I thought of you because there is a parking lot tram. Like, it's a tractor and the tram that was there through 1997.
This was before I was into the tram. This was pre-tram tip, but yes.
Throughout the exhibit, along with the pavilions, there's also returning favorites like photo spots, interactive displays, pin trading, and concessions. Our side note on concessions.
Yes.
Go out and eat. I'm using my hands again. I'm sorry, Tig. Go out and there is a whole like food truck alley that they set up. And the food trucks are delicious.
But don't just realize that there's that main entrance food trucks. Yeah. There's also some on the Catella entrance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we found a really great like Mexican place.
At least there had been in the past.
I'll bet you there will be this time too. Of course, shopping is always a big deal with limited edition merchandise and collectibles. Fan favorite shopping destinations are returning, including Mickey's of Glendale, the Hollywood Studio Store, and the Emporium. Plus, the Walt Disney Company Store will make its debut and feature exclusive D23 Ultimate Disney Fan Event branded products.
It was announced that the virtual queuing will be coming back. So if you do not want to, if virtual queues is more your thing for shopping, those will be coming back. But the other thing too, the shopping's actually going to be located somewhere separately. So again, in the interview with Michael Vargo, they're making everything bigger and better, right? So this is the first time that they're actually using the entire show floor at the convention center in the main building. It will be like for like pavilions and all the cool like expo floor stuff that they actually ran out of room for the shopping stuff. So the shopping experience has moved over to the North Hall. So it's right across the sidewalk from that main building. And of course, they had to give it a name. It's going to be called World of Disney, the Product Experience. And it is going to be the shopping destination for the event weekend. The D23 Marketplace is also going to be in there, along with Disney Publishing, the Disney Store, a lot of other Disney brands and partners, as well as the Walt Disney Company Store. And again, virtual queue will be available for some of those as well. But yeah, I'm just...
So what things are coming back? They've got the Mousecarade.
Mousecarade is coming back, and of course, bigger and better. This year, it's going to be on the premiere stage, which, if you remember, the Mousecarade is going to be in the premiere stage, which last year, if you attended Expo, was the arena that Walt's plane was in.
Sure.
So that arena has like there's 3,000 seats in that arena.
Well, 2 years ago, that's where the Haunted Mansion thing was.
Yes, and 2 years ago was the Haunted Mansion presentation. We should try and go see Mousecarade because, again, I feel like we got more time in our expo day. And that's something, I mean, incredible. Super crazy talented people.
Now, we talked about all of the big panels, the three big things. They're still going to have other panels and discussions and stuff. So an expanded archive stage will host panels, creative discussions, and engaging presentations that will talk about aspects of Disney history spanning the entire legacy of the company. Topics are going to include Walt's famous trip to Latin America, which we actually learned about at the D100.
Also tease that there's going to be a panel about the 1964 World's Fair that the archives will be putting on as well.
And conversations with members of the newest Disney Legends.
Oh,
Hyperion and Backlot stages will offer niche and intimate sessions for guests to enjoy, and the Spotlight stage will be located on the main show floor for deeper conversations with stars and storytellers, as well as interactive entertainment for fans throughout the day.
There's also going to be some there's more. There's also going to be D23 Fantastic Prize Sweepstakes. So fans will be able to enter a sweepstakes, one of the most expansive in Disney history. Of course, it is the D23, the Ultimate Disney Sweepstakes Fantastic Prizes. They don't really go into specifics on what it is, but there's a lineup of exclusive prizes and engaging experience that, of course, only Disney can do. Just one of the prizes that they're teasing, which this has to be like the big one, includes a sailing on the 7-night maiden voyage of the newest Disney Cruise Line ship, the Disney Treasure. That's just one of the prizes of the sweepstakes.
So
I need to like brush up on my luck before we go to this, because
talk about all this now. So how do you go? Well, to allow fans to have as much flexibility and choice as possible when it comes to accessing the opportunities at multiple venues throughout the weekend, there are several ticketing options that allow fans to build the itinerary that works best for them. The first one is the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass 3-day ticket, which includes a 3-day assigned seat for evening shows at the Honda Center and 3-day access to all experiences at the Convention Center, starting at, this is key, Trace, yes, I think has more information about this, yes, in a minute, starting at $297 a ticket. While Teresa looks this up, I also want to say that they have a note here about it, that you must be a D23 member to purchase tickets this year. That is different from previous years. You can join D23 with a gold membership at $99 a year, a gold duo membership for $129, or a complimentary general membership, but you have to be a D23 member to get any of these.
So for the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass, the 3-day assigned ticket, like Tag mentioned, starts at $297 for the weekend, but there are four levels. The top level of that 3-day Ultimate Fan Pass is $747. So what's the difference, you may ask? Since you're going to have assigned seating at the Honda Center, there's four different tiers or four different levels of where that your seat section will be. So the $297s on the 400 level, which is the upper level.
Nosebleeds, we call them.
Yes. The nosebleeds is the upper rows. The next tier is the 400 level, but the lower rows. And then the other two are stage adjacent at the 200 level and then the 200 level. So again, depends on where you want to sit and how much that is worth it to you.
I'm looking at a picture of the Honda Center right now. And honestly, I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't feel like this back row that they're talking about doesn't seem that bad.
It doesn't seem as nosebleedy and scary. Sometimes you go in these things and it's almost terrifying to walk up the stairs.
Yeah, this looks
better. We'll see how it goes.
This is probably how it's going to be set up because there's like a stage. This doesn't seem bad.
No, I don't think. I think just being in the room where it happens, see what I did there?
Yes.
Is going to be unlike anything. So I'm just excited to be there.
So the next
next up is the D23 Ultimate Fan Pass 1-day tickets. So these are reserved. The Ultimate Fan Passes is for the Expo as well as Honda Center. So this includes a reserve seat for that day's evening show at the Honda Center. Again, just 1 day. And the same day you get access to all the experiences in the Convention Center. These tickets start at $99. Again, same four tiers. The highest priced tier on this, so the closer you are to the stage, $249 is where that one tops out.
Then there's the D23 Preferred Ultimate Fan Pass 3-day ticket,
this
which
is a fancy one,
exclusive to D23 Gold members. It includes a 3-day floor seat for evening shows at the Honda Center. You get the same seat each night. That's
nice. Which is nice, yeah.
A 3-day access to all experiences at the Convention Center. It starts at $999 a ticket, but also goes all the way up to the 100 level, which is $2,599. What is it? Wait.
So if you're wondering what the 100 level is, that's like the front section.
They're all 100 level, but the $999, you're in rows 110 through 112.
Yep.
For $25.99, you're in rows 101 through 103. So you're in the first few rows.
So the more expensive, the highest tier or level ticket is the closest, is going to get you closer to the stage.
Sure.
But then also this, I like this. I like this a lot. If you are just really excited about the expo and everything the expo has to offer, which
as none of the Honda Center stuff,
as we've talked about, even if like maybe you could, I don't know. There's a ton to do. You're not going to feel like you have missed out by just experiencing what's going on at the convention center. So they do have passes that provide access to the convention center only. So those nighttime things happening at the Honda Center, those are not included. You can get those in the passes that we talked about earlier. But so the D23 fan pass, they do have 1-day passes as well as 3-day passes. Gold members, of course, get a discount for both. So the 1-day pass gold member price is $79 a ticket. General members is $89 a ticket. And then for that 3-day pass, again, just to the convention center, gold members price is at $209 a ticket with a general member at $259. Wow.
The other change this
year... Don't worry. We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
You do not have to memorize all those prices and levels.
There is also a change this year that for each tier, guests can purchase up to 8 total passes, yep, which I think before was like 4 or something.
Sure. Yeah.
So you can purchase up to 8 now, which is nice. D23 gold members will have first access to a limited number of 1- and 3-day tickets for a limited time beginning on March 26th, which is next week, at noon Pacific time, or Disneyland time as we call
it. Mark your calendars.
D23 gold and general members who are also Visa card holders and who pay with their Visa will have pre-sale tickets, access to a limited number of 1- and 3-day tickets beginning March 27th at noon Disneyland time. And tickets for all D23 gold and general members will go on sale beginning March 28th at noon Disneyland time while supplies last. Attendees, again, like I said earlier, must be a D23 member. Fans can join as a complimentary member by going to d23.com.
And the final thing, the cherry on top, we had a preview of what some of the expo merch is going to look like. I'm assuming this is the merch that you can purchase when you purchase your ticket. There's a beautiful, I really like the royal blue. I love it. But I like the design this year. It's just a simple Mickey like profile, but it still has, it's not just a silhouette profile. It's got his face. So there's one with kind of fireworks in the background. It says D23, the ultimate fan experience with, of course, the year 2024. There's a, I don't know if this is a, comes together as a package or if these are just grouped together for the photo shoot, but there's a backpack, I think I need that t-shirt, a water bottle, a baseball cap, and then again the pins included plus the next items included, which is a really nice looking lanyard, which would be great to kind of hold your credentials for the expo on too. I'm gonna sleep well tonight because I'm just so excited. I mean, I was already excited about this stuff. I thought the changes that they had announced but hadn't maybe given all the details for made sense, and I was really excited to see how that was going to work. I'm real excited that we get to, hopefully, everyone cross your fingers, because we're going to try for tickets like everyone else is next week, so we're hoping to be able to secure tickets to be able to go and experience this, because I don't know. There's just something about going to this like next level big thing for the expo and being the first ones to experience that just feels extra exciting to me.
Yeah. So a couple other things to note that they have in their things to know section on their website, if you're looking for it, is that I think we mentioned before, but I want to reiterate it again, that there is a complimentary round trip shuttle service between the convention center and the Honda Center before and after the evening shows that's offered on a first come, first served basis, subject to a limited availability. So know that that's happening. But also the D23 badges will provide you access to all of the fan event stuff, which allows you access to the convention center, the ability to enter the random selection process for your chance to secure reservations for select panels and experiences, participate in opportunities presented by Disney and Friends of Disney to receive photos taken, redeem for your gold member gift that gold members get every expo, and more. Your digital ticket will provide you access to the venue at the Honda Center and information on your section, row, and reserve seat. Digital and printed home tickets for the Honda Center will be delivered to your tickets account this summer. More information to come. All tickets are final. No refunds, no cancellations or refunds, regardless of reason, including without limitation due to illness, change in travel plans, etc. The convention center show hours are going to be from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then there's the Honda Center events that start at 7 p.m.
Kind of mentioning what Tag said, that there's always going to be a commemorative gift for gold members. There's also, they announced this on the D23 announcement, that D23 charter members who joined D23 in 2009 will have access to a private lounge off of the show floor. Very cool. And for the first time ever, D23 gold members attending the event will receive a commemorative and collectible pin.
Well, that's cool.
So they've announced what it is. We just don't know exactly what the design is. In years past, it's been art prints,
sure,
which actually we've got, I know I have mine framed, and they make appearances on our podcast set every once in a while because we like to swap stuff out. But yeah, I've got mine framed. So I'm excited. Over the moon excited for this entire thing. I'm glad I don't have to contain my excitement anymore because I was trying to save it all to share it with you guys with the podcast. I don't know.
I think you did a good job.
Probably like you, Teresa, you're on a different level. I'm excited.
I do think you're on a different level, but I think it's because I was really excited for like the first time we went and we had, you know, whatever. And then the second time we went, it improved a little bit, mm-hmm, and we kind of knew the lay of the land and stuff. But to me, it's just the big thing for me is whatever's going to be announced at the experiences panel now. And of course, I'm really interested to see what the show floor looks like with Imagineering being involved, because mm-hmm, I feel like that could be very whimsical.
We might not want to leave.
But I also hope that Disney learns from the previous expos and brings cast members from the parks over on like day one instead of waiting for like halfway through day two or day three.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I can't even imagine
the process. It's a logistical nightmare.
I mean, I just can't even imagine how they pull it off. But they do each time, and it's just bigger and better. And this is, again, like it exploded this year. It's just so much bigger. I don't know if we talked about this, so I want to talk about this really quick. So in years, last year, and I think they did this for the 2019 Expo, they had a random selection process to ensure reservations for select panels and some experiences. So that is going to be coming back. So we did that, like there was some panels we did, the archive stage that we put our credentials in the hoping to get a reservation. If you don't get a reservation, that's fine. There is still a standby queue. You're just not guaranteed a seat with the standby queue. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about real quick was new this year, guests have the opportunity to add, modify, or cancel their reservations before the event, which I think is great because I know we had some weekly tiers that stuff came up, and so panels they had reservations for, they weren't then able to attend. So I think this makes a lot of sense to them, be able to make sure other people can utilize that. And
which
if people
also
drop,
means
then we could pick up other people's reservations too. So I think this makes a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
This is also for, like I said, panels, presentations, as well as Talent Central and some of the experiences on the show floor.
I think that we will have another episode before D23 this year.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of talk about like prep work. But I'm just going to tell you now, as you're preparing to buy these tickets and all of this stuff, it's the same thing we say every year. You're never going to be able to see it all. You need to just accept that when you go to this event, that you've got to pick and choose what's important to you and just let it go that you can't see a bunch of other stuff
Disney Wins guide you. Because the other thing too is there's times that we, like the things that were priorities on our list, maybe we got to do them, maybe we didn't get to do them, but you know what? Every single year, some of our favorite things that we've done and experienced were things we didn't even know were available and something to do.
That Disney Channel thing we talked about earlier.
Yeah, well, and I'm just thinking about like floor experiences. You could spend the entire day doing all sorts of amazing and cool and awesome things, just wandering around the floor. And it's just, I mean, there's animation type, not, I don't want to say classes, demonstrations that are going on by Disney animators. There's little kind of pop-up events and presentations happening at some of these panels that, it's wild. And yeah, you're like Tag mentioned, it's, I don't think it's possible to be able to do it all as much as we would all want to be able to do it all. I will also give a disclaimer. I'm not somebody there. It can be overwhelming because there's just so much stuff to do. So just remember to kind of breathe, take it all in stride. Like we said, let the Disney winds guide you, because you're sure to have a great time and have an amazing experience no matter what it is you do there.
Absolutely.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we are going to find out the answers to these questions and find out how well Tag and Teresa did. How do you two feel tonight? Did you nail them all? I'm confident on two. Are you confident on two?
On two. Yep.
All right.
The first and the fourth. One, two, three. Yeah. First and fourth.
Sure.
Okay.
That's where the confidence ends.
Well, then, let's see how you did. Your first listener submitted question tonight from listener hashtag Save Teresa's Trees.
I will never not laugh at that.
In Star Tours, the adventures continue. You have the pleasure of waiting in a delightfully detailed queue. Occasionally, you'll pick up chatter from old droids or iconic characters. If you listen carefully, you'll hear an announcement to a Mr. George Sekul. Who is this a reference to? Both of you hitch into each other's wagons and saying that is George Lucas.
No, I feel like we were on the same Star Tours.
Yes, you were riding the same...
I hitched onto your land speeder.
Yes, that's it. You were riding the same land speeder.
The shuttle, I guess. Yes. Star Tours shuttle.
Yeah.
Anyway, the correct answer that we were looking for was George Lucas, spelled backwards.
Woo!
And the way that I have it here in the provided answer from the listener is it looks like Igrudge Sakul. So it's pronounced George, but it's spelled the entire word George backwards.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's a lot more tricksy if you're looking at it than if you're just hearing it pronounced.
Sure.
So, yeah, I liked it. It was a good question. But both
fun.
Of you getting that one correct. Well done. Your second listener submitted question tonight from listener Andy M. What famous real-life building inspired the facade of Pirates of the Caribbean? Teresa saying the St. Louis Cathedral, and Tag saying, yeah, sure.
You're being very, very generous, because I definitely just said the building at Jackson
Square. But I gave you the name, and so that was fine.
You nailed it down to the St. Louis Cathedral with some help and some
We need to be transparent. We Googled the name of the building.
I Google Mapsed to find it and then pick the thing. But anyway.
Yes.
Anyway.
He's like, it's not going to matter. It's still wrong.
The correct answer that I was looking for was the Cabildo in Jackson Square in New Orleans.
Oh, it still is in Jackson Square. Yeah, but you didn't have the right thing. Don't be
My written answer is the building in Jackson Square is what I wrote as my final answer.
Specifically, the cupola at the top and the arched entryways. The real-life building also happens to be where the Louisiana Purchase was signed in 1803.
Ooh, okay, final score. Do I get credit for my building in Jackson Square?
No.
Not even half credit?
No, because I told you that we had been there and
that building in Jackson Square is not good.
Dang. I was pretty proud of myself for that.
Was it this? Like, is this the cupola he's talking
That's
about?
That's gotta be, yeah.
100%. No, Teresa, you remember the first time that we saw the silver-painted robot guy?
Yeah.
And we were hanging out for a while drinking our Café du Monde?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the building.
Nope, I know. Yep, he just, it's Tag. He Googled it already.
Oh, okay, well, fine. Yes, exactly that building. Yeah. Teresa and I hung out there drinking Café du Monde and eating beignets. It was delightful.
In fairness, Teresa, it is literally next door to the cathedral.
It is. In Jackson Square.
In Jackson Square.
Dang. So close.
Yep.
You were only an alley away.
Your third listener submitted question tonight from listener Todd B. In the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Queue, you visit the collector's personal office. On his desk, there is an invoice from XS Tech about the containment units that he has the Guardians in. Which former Walt Disney World attraction did XS Tech originate from?
Oh, I missed the former part. I thought it was which Walt Disney World attraction. Well,
so what is it?
It's not so Tower
Teresa
of Terror.
Said Tower of Terror. Tag said Horizons. The correct answer that we were looking for was the extraterrestrial alien encounter.
I wish I would have experienced that. I heard it was really great.
Terrifying?
Supposedly. It's what Stitch's Great Escape was, and now it's nothing.
Oh, they didn't even bring Stitch's Great Escape.
No, they.
Well.
Shows how much I keep up on the other.
You don't watch David's Fresh Baked videos about stuff? I guess he only covers Epcot and Tiana right now.
I have not seen that.
Yeah. All right.
Your fourth and final regular round question from listener Kayla B. Name the Disney characters that have been added to It's a Small World. You did so well, and you got so close, and I can't even specifically figure out where it's not quite exactly the same. So I'm just going to read.
Sounds like it's the same.
Man. I'm going to read the correct answer, and you tell me what you missed.
Okay, you got to go slow enough for Teresa to find it.
Slow enough for me to go through my big old list here.
The correct answer, as was given by Kayla B., as she and her one-year-old went through and counted themselves, and I was able to confirm this through multiple websites, Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, Alice and the White Rabbit, Cinderella, Jacques and Gus, Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket, Mulan and Mushu, Aladdin, Jasmine and Abu, Donald Duck, Panchito and Jose Carioca, Simba, Pumbaa and Timon, Ariel and Flounder, Dory and Nemo, Lilo and Stitch, and Jessie, Bullseye, and Woody.
Flounder. We missed Flounder.
Okay.
But we gave him what?
We must have added someone. Who the heck we add here? Okay, we've got Ariel, Lilo, Stitch, Dory, Marlin, Mowgli, right?
Negative.
Yeah, so...
He's there.
You missed
that's all right. We got the points anyway.
But you know what? He's opposite of Lilo and Stitch. So there he's tricky.
So if you're looking one way, you Yep. All right.
All right. Still, we did pretty
good. I call it a draw.
I'm giving you full credit because
good job, Teresa.
Very well. Excellent work on that one.
Poor Flounder. I feel really bad about this.
It's a papier-mâché character, Teresa. It's okay.
I still feel bad.
Okay. But it's a papier-mâché character with soul.
You can only care so much, Teresa. You got to save Teresa's trees. Okay.
And here, bonus question from listener Ryan P. What year was King Arthur's Carousel constructed? Where was it originally located? And what change was made to it when it was refurbished for Disneyland? You said 1897 in Germany with all galloping horses. You were wrong. The answer that I was looking for was it was built in 1922 in Sunnyside Beach Park in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, jeez.
And the change that was made in 1954 when it moved to Disneyland property prior to opening was they added the fourth round of horses.
Oh, so it was all horses. Oh. So we were horrendously wrong.
That was... Yes.
We sort of got horses, but not really.
You knew that it had horses.
Yeah.
But that was, yep. I don't know which carousel you were thinking of.
I don't either.
Yep.
Maybe the thing with the horses was that they painted them. Maybe it was all horses, but it was the painting of all of them white was what we were so much remembering the horses.
Maybe.
I don't know.
For sure, they did intentionally paint them all white. I know that.
Yes, I do recall that. I don't remember what year, but that is a thing.
Sure.
But that was not from the original King Arthur's Carousel. But, yep.
So I did just pull up the video because then, of course, I had myself second guessing. And yeah, I believe it is Mowgli that's in there. He's got a, what are those things called? Where they throw them and they come, a boomerang. He's holding a boomerang. I don't, so now I always thought it was Mowgli. Maybe it's not intentionally Mowgli. Now I've got myself all confused. But anyways, if someone knows for sure, write in and let us know.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Do you have that perfect question that you've been waiting to hear out live on the air? Feel free to send that to us at trivia@dlweekly.net Or you can hit the link at dlweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
A special thank you to Sadell, our editor.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.